Amen. Let's look in Luke chapter 24, in Luke 24, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. I'm going to share a message entitled, The Wonder of the Resurrection, The Wonder of the Resurrection, out of Luke chapter 24. In verse 1, it says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at all that which was come to pass. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this day. It's been a good day in the house of God, and we rejoice in the goodness of our Savior. We're thankful, Lord, that because you live, we also will live. We're thankful, Lord, for grace and mercy that's been extended to us to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our sins. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to just be like Peter. Be amazed at the wonder of the resurrection of Christ. And so bless the preaching of the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, stooping down, and behold, the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed. And here it is, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. The wonder of the resurrection. We just observed the Lord's table together, and it's a great reminder to us every time we take of the Lord's table of the great grace that has been extended to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And the grace of God being extended to the point of where it provides for us complete redemption, to be completely cleansed and washed clean of all of our sins and released from the bondage of sin. It also gives us great assurance of not only what took place in the past, but what's going to take place in the future. The fact that we'll be resurrected one day, we'll be able to spend eternity in heaven as soon as we depart from this life, but that the grave will have no hold on our body, but our body be resurrected and reunited with our soul and our spirit. And this great conflict throughout history, though, has been concerning the true relationship or religion and Savior in reference to the resurrection. You know, Paul would have to write to the Thessalonians reminding them that the rapture has not taken place because false doctrine would creep in saying that the resurrection had already taken place. And throughout this century, there has been a constant conflict with this matter concerning the resurrection of Christ. Apostle Paul would have to deal with it. In Acts 23 and 6 says, But when Paul perceived that one part of were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Paul would have to deal with being questioned and being debated with in reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yea, today we still have problems with people wanting to deny the reality that Jesus Christ is alive. And so, but he is alive and he lives forevermore. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have to say a hearty amen to go along with it. No wonder Peter, when he came to the tomb and he looked into the tomb and it was empty, he went away wondering in himself at all that had taken place, the wonder of the resurrection. I want to think of three things tonight in reference to the wonder of the resurrection. First of all, I see a crucified and risen Savior. A crucified and risen Savior. The crucified and risen Savior enables ignorance to be refuted. In John chapter 20, and there's several verses we'll be looking at, in John chapter 20 and verse 8 and 9, says, then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not that the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And so ignorance is refuted. The fact that you can go to the tomb and look into the tomb and there's no body there removes the ignorance of the reality of trying to refute the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And man, listen, when man lives his life denying the word of God and refusing to believe in Jesus Christ, the only way that you can refute that is to assure them and prove to them, I guess you could say prove or show them anyway, through the scriptures, that Jesus Christ is alive according to everything that he said that he would do. And so ignorance is refuted. It's a living Savior that makes a difference in our life. It's not a dead Savior. And you think of all the vast religions that are in the world and all their founders and all their leaders are dead and they're in the grave, but yet no one's been able to produce the body of Jesus Christ. Because he is ever in heaven, he is sitting at the throne of heaven, he is interceding on our behalf. And so the ignorance of man in reference to resurrection needs to be refuted. But I also see the horror is removed. Can't even read my own typing, amen? It's pretty bad. I can't read my writing now. I can't read my typing. But anyway, horror is removed. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith to them, peace be unto you. The horror of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And just to go through the scriptures and read of the events that took place, the things that Jesus would suffer. And when Jesus would be interrogated, the whole crowd would be scattered. The disciples are scattered. We see only John at the cross and Mary at the cross. They were terrified because of all that went on. It's interesting that when Jesus was getting ready to enter into Jerusalem, when they were going to see Lazarus, raise him from the dead, the response of Thomas is, well, we'll go and we'll die. I mean, that really sounded like an exciting evangelistic tour. And but they were horrified of everything that was going on. And I must say, rightfully so. And but the horrors are removed when we meet with the living Christ. And Jesus Christ came into the room where the disciples were gathered. And he overcomes their fear by speaking the word, peace be unto you. And so when I need peace, when I'm terrified and I'm scared and afraid of what's going on in my life, I need God to speak peace to my soul. And I'm thankful that he can give us peace that is abundant and will enable us to overcome the fears that we deal with. So I see horror removed. In John chapter 14, in verse 18 and 19, I see grace is revealed. I think when we think of the resurrection of Christ, we need to remind ourselves that God is extending grace to us in that he sent his son into this world to die such a horrible death but that he would rise again, defeating the power of death, so that we could be able to experience the presence of God. In John chapter 14 and verse 18, Jesus said this, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." That is a tremendous verse that when you feel like everything is gone and you feel like there's nowhere to turn and you feel like you can't be settled in your mind and in your heart, remember this, that Christ is not going to leave us comfortless. And he said, "I will come to you." And in those times, in the midnight hour, when you can't find any hope or any comfort, Jesus Christ will come to us and settle the distress in our hearts. In verse 19, he says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." And so, if God be for us, who can stand against us? If the world tries to intimidate us and instill fear in us, then we need to just turn to Christ, and he is the one who comforts us in all of our tribulations. And so the crucified and risen Savior, not only does he refute ignorance and remove horror and reveal grace, but he restores the sinner. The sinner is restored. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 20 and 21, Paul tells us this, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," and I think we never can forget that our peace that we have with God is through the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. "By him," say, well, he explains why he shed his blood on the cross, "by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him," I say, "whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." And so the sinner is reconciled or restored in fellowship with his Creator and his God. And it's all because of Christ dying on the cross, being buried, and rising again. His blood was shed so as to reconcile all things. And so tonight, you're watching live stream, you're not sure you're saved, I want you to know the way that you get right with God is you come to this Jesus who was crucified and is risen. I want you to know that, listen, the hope that we have in eternal life is all based on the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified and it is risen. And so the wonder of the resurrection, it's amazing. It's a thought that overwhelms our abilities to comprehend all that took place and how that took place in God redeeming our soul. I had someone years ago told me, they said, "Well, when you're preaching and you give an invitation and a person comes forward, do they get saved when they're in their seat because they made the decision to come forward, or do they get saved when they come up to the altar? When does it take place?" I told him, I said, "I don't know about you, but I have no idea when it takes place. But we have to give assurance and help confirmation, confirming that person's life that he has trusted Christ as a Savior by coming forward and kneeling here. Wonderful, whether he gets saved back there in his seat or he gets saved up here. The key is this, the blood of the crucified Savior is the means to reconcile that sinner no matter where it takes place. I got saved in my bedroom in the middle of the night. If you couldn't get saved in your bedroom, or you couldn't get saved by yourself, or you couldn't get saved in different situations in life, we would never, never experience the full assurance of a crucified, risen Savior of what he can do in our life. So we have this matter of a sinner reconciled. So it's a wonder, the crucified and risen Savior. I don't know, I can't comprehend how God saves a person. I really don't. To this day, I've been saved for about 35 years now. To this day, I cannot explain what took place in my heart. I can't. All I know is I was fearful and I had no hope. And I just prayed and I asked the Lord. I told the Lord, I said, "If I die, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. God, I don't want to go to hell. Will you save me?" And I'll tell you how it took place and what happened, I don't know. I just know this, my life has never been the same. And then to add on top of that, God would break my heart to preach the word of God and be so confused and not even understanding of what it means to preach the word of God and what it would involve in surrendering my life to preach the word of God. But yet, all I said was I was willing to go. All my wife said was, wherever God wants you to go, I'll go with you. That was it. It's a wonder. You ponder it and you contemplate on it and you can't figure it out. Why? Because it's all based on the crucified, risen Savior, the wonder of the resurrection. Number two, I see the conquering and ruling Savior. The conquering and ruling Savior, you might look at Jesus hanging on the cross, or we may look at Christ hanging on the cross and consider him to be defeated. But see, the fact that he died on the cross, was buried and rose again, establishes who he is as a conquering and ruling Savior. Don't you think for 1 minute that you're losing out by giving your life to Christ. He defeats sin. In John 11:25, Jesus told Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though you are dead, yet shall he live. And so he defeats sin in our life. Whatever the sin is in your life, Christ is greater to overcome it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful that Jesus, because he's a conquering and ruling Savior, that sin cannot dictate what my life is to be. He defeats sin. Not only that, but he defeats the flesh. Realize this, your flesh is your enemy. And your flesh is sold under sin. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 14, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, for he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their life subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. What is it saying? He is a conquering and ruling Savior. He defeats the sin that is in our life, but he defeats the flesh that we live in. Your body may be tempted. Jesus was in all points tempted, yet as we are, but yet without sin. And so he overcomes the flesh. Now all you have to do is surrender your life to the conquering, ruling Savior, and he'll take control of your body. Paul said, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself may also be a castaway. People say, you don't understand the addictions. You don't understand the desires. You don't understand what's going on in my body. I may not, but Jesus Christ does. And he can overcome the lust of the flesh, and he can give us victory. Not only does he defeat sin in the flesh, but he defeats the world. In 1 John 4:4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this world is on a fast track to destruction. And this world is on a fast track of being completely destroyed, and is because they have denied the conquering, ruling Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so he defeats the world. But he also defeats death. And we talked about that a little bit this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm thankful that death has no hold on us. I'm thankful that I don't need to fear death. It is an enemy for those of us that are alive in the flesh, but it is a defeated foe. It has no power over us. So I see the wonder of the resurrection in reference to a crucified and risen Savior, a conquering and ruling Savior. And then the last thing I see is this, a conscious and returning Savior. And I'm thankful he's a conscious and returning Savior in that he knows his own. He knows whether you've trusted him or not. You know, we can put on a good show many times. We can put up our facades. We can fake being a Christian. But God knows who you are. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, they follow me. He knows who his sheep are. And I'm thankful that he knows his own. I'm thankful that he is meets our needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so he meets my needs. And so the wonder of the resurrection is that he lived on this earth for 33 years approximately, died, was buried, and rose again, ascended into heaven, but he is still able to meet every need that I have in my life. And I just think, I've never got over the fact when we were in Bible college and my alarm clock broke. I shared it when I was preaching at the revival meeting in Delaware. Most of you already heard it. If you did, act like you didn't. Amen. But I've never got over that. The wonder of the resurrected Savior that he could miraculously provide for me. Alarm clock broke. I got in trouble because I was late for class. And we didn't have groceries. We were praying for food, praying for an alarm clock. Came home from church. Went up, go in our apartment. As we went to go in there, right on the doorstep was two bags of groceries with an alarm clock on top of it. And we never told a living soul that I needed an alarm clock. We never said, pray for me because I need food and I need an alarm clock. We didn't. We talked to the Lord. And it's an amazing thought. It's an overwhelming thought that God can answer prayer that specifically. Because of the fact that he is a conscious, in other words, he is aware of who you are, and he's returning Savior, then he can meet our needs over and over and over and over again. It's an amazing thing what God can do. And so he releases his wrath on this earth in Revelation chapter 19. We say, well, where's it all going to end? And is the people still going to get away with they're going to get away with things until Jesus Christ comes. And let me tell you something, they're not going to escape his wrath. In Revelation chapter 19, in verse 15, says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. And all the bold, prideful statements that different leaders make in the world that we live in, let me tell you, they're all going to be destroyed. They're all going to be eliminated when Jesus Christ comes to rule and to reign. So he releases his wrath. In Revelation 26, he establishes his kingdom. He said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Wonder of the resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And I've heard people over the years that just want to deny the rule of Christ for his millennial kingdom. They said, well, that's just a figurative number. No, it isn't. It's a very specific, direct statement of the time frame, the time period in which Jesus Christ will have his millennial reign on this earth. He establishes his kingdom. And then Revelation 22 and 12, he brings his reward with him. Notice in Revelation 22, 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The conscious awareness of the returning Savior acknowledges the fact that there is a reward waiting for us when Jesus Christ comes again. No wonder Peter, when he came to the sepulcher and he found that the tomb was empty, he left wondering in himself about all these things that had taken place. I wonder if Peter was thinking about the fact, you know, that I denied the Lord three times, and as he came out of the judgment hall, he looked right through me. I just wonder if Peter was thinking, well, you know, when we caught no fish, Jesus Christ went out with us in the ship and we filled our nets to the point where they break. I just wonder if he was thinking through his mind of how the paraplegic man was healed by Jesus Christ. The wonder of Peter in reference to Jesus Christ, the one who did all these miracles and was despised and rejected and was crucified and buried, is now alive. He is the crucified, risen Savior. He is the conquering and ruling Savior. He is the conscious and returning Savior, the wonder of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I can't get over it, amen? I can't get over it. And so God has been very good. When I was down in Delaware, a fellow got saved at the revival meeting I was preaching. And his wife was testifying. She said, you know, she said, before he got saved, she said he grew up in a preacher's home for 42 years. He was in a preacher's home, never got saved. And she said this. She said, you know, he used to beat me, and he doesn't beat me anymore. She said, I used to cuss him, and I don't cuss him anymore. We want to renew our wedding vows in the church where we got saved. Amen. I'll tell you, God can do some great things. And the wonder of the resurrection of Christ. Only a living Savior can do something like that. And so don't give up. Don't back off. Rejoice in the Lord and celebrate continually each and every day that we have new life through faith in Jesus Christ. And don't get over the wonder of the resurrection. Sometimes what we do is the longer we're saved, we just become so familiar with Bible stories, Bible characters that we just kind of, oh, I've heard that before. No, let it stir you anew. Amen. Let God get you stirred up and excited anew. I don't want to ever come to a place, and I've had those places. They're dry places where God needs to stir us, and God needs to ignite the flame of the fire of God in our life again and stir us up that we might be excited. I don't want to ever come to a point of just living outside of the wonder and the amazement of the resurrected Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive. I'm thankful, Lord, that all that you said you would do in our lives, you have done. And Lord, all that you promised that you will do will be accomplished. And God, we stand in amazement. We can't comprehend it. We can't explain it. We certainly can't dissect it. But God, we believe it. We experience it. And God, we're looking forward to all that we're going to have when we get to heaven. And so thank you, Lord, for the wonder of the resurrection. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.